Are you sure Hacker's the man for this?
Yes.
He's really the best possible choice to bring in an integrated transport policy?
Yes.
But he doesn't know anything about transport policy.
No.
You sounded out the Secretary of State for Transport?
He won't touch it with a barge pole.
Yes. Well, this could turn out to be a bed of nails.
A crown of thorns.
A booby trap.
Still, we had to make it look as though something was going to be done. It calls for a particular combination of talents. Lots of activity, but no actual achievement.
I see. Then Hacker is the man. So, how do you suggest we go about it?
Well, you're the PM's chief special advisor. You know the form. We make it seem like a special honor, a promotion, a present.
But Sir Humphrey Appleby is bound to tell Hacker. He'd be crazy to take it on.
Yes, timeo deneus et dona ferentes, I can hear him say. Beware of Greeks bearing gifts, roughly translated. Though Humphrey would have put it in English for Hacker's benefit. Hacker went to the LSE, you know.
So did I.
Oh, I am sorry. Anyway, we must get an immediate commitment from Hacker before he's got time to talk to Humphrey.
Today? Now?
Don't you think it'll work?
What, flattering a politician? When's it ever failed? We'll offer to call him Transport Supremo, shall we?
Yes, much more attractive than Transport Muggins.
Huh? Ah, Jim.
Hello, Mark.
Arnold, drink?
Yes, thank you. Everything, all right?
Everything's fine. We wanted, that is, the Prime Minister wanted the Cabinet Secretary and me to sound you out about something. Something of an honour, I may say.
Honour? You don't mean...
There. No, a real honour. A significant increase of responsibility.
Now, what are your views on an integrated national transport policy?
Go on.
The PM has decided we need a national transport policy.
Yes. Well, why not?
You're in favour?
Unfortunately, public dissatisfaction with the nationalized transport industries is now at a high enough level to worry the government, as you know.
Can you go on?
No, we can't go on, not like this.
No, we need a policy. Not just blame the managements when there's an R in the month and blame the unions the rest of the time.
Unfortunately, they've both got together. Their line is that it's all the government's fault, that everything that goes wrong is the result of not having an integrated transport policy.
Because we did have a policy before.
Did we?
Yes, it was our policy not to have a policy.
Now the PM wants a positive policy.
Oh, the PM, yes. Yes, well, I couldn't agree more. I've always thought so.
Good.
But surely it's a Ministry of Transport matter, isn't it?
No.
Obviously, the Transport Secretary would love to get his teeth into the job, but he's a bit too close to it all.
He can't see the wood for the trees.
It needs an open mind, uncluttered.
So, the PM has decided to appoint a supremo to develop and implement a national transport policy.
A supremo.
And,
Exactly. It was decided you had the most open mind of all.
And the most uncluttered.
Well, of course, it's a great honour. And a responsibility. What sort of...
You mean what precisely is required of an integrated transport policy, Minister?
It's to help the consumer.
Very popular with the public, of course. Not that that would...
Not if it's my duty.
For example, the motorways were planned without any reference to the railways, so there are great stretches of motorway running alongside already existing railways.
While other parts of the country aren't served at all, I suppose.
Quite. We knew you'd understand.
Well, it's really quite simple, isn't it?
And there's the question of through tickets.
Through tickets.
If you want to commute from Henley to the city, you have to buy one British Rail ticket to Paddington and then buy an underground ticket to the bank. And have you ever seen a combined bus and railway timetable? Or ever seen a bus timetable in a railway station?
Or has a bus driver ever seen a bus timetable?
There's a British Rail Western Region line running less than a mile north of Heathrow, but no link line.
Apparently, bus and train services don't connect up all over London.
And outside London, of course, there are problems.
Of course, probably, but we don't know about them.
Yes, well, it's full of exciting possibilities. I suppose what you'd like me to do is go and discuss it with Humphrey and then come back to you.
Of course, there is much to discuss with Sir Humphrey, but we need an indication of your response somewhat more urgently.
The PM's car leaves for the airport in 30 minutes. The Ottawa conference.
And then the United Nations speech in New York.
And the meeting in Washington.
Gosh, what a long trip. Who's going to run the country? Sorry, Arnold. Silly question.
So, we can give the PM the good news?
There's a lot to put in hand.
Oh, yes, I'm on.
Splendid.
Have another drink.
A minister.
Sorry, I'm late. Got some splendid news for you.
Indeed, Minister.
I've got a new job.
Oh, the department will be awfully sorry to lose you.
No, I mean an extra job. I've been asked to formulate and develop an integrated national transport policy by the Prime Minister.
I see. And what was the good news?
Was the good news?
Oh. Then how, if I may be so bold as to inquire, would you describe bad news?
What?
Minister, do you realize what this job would mean if you accepted it?
I have accepted it.
You've what?
I have accepted it.
Minister, you're not serious.
Yes, it's an honor. After all, we do need a transport policy.
If by we you mean Britain, that is perfectly true. But if by we you mean you and me in this department, we need a transport policy like an aperture in the cranial cavity. It is a bed of nails.
Look, I realize it may cause some extra administrative problems for you, Humphrey. I realize.
Minister, that is not the point. The reason there has never been an integrated transport policy is that such a policy is in everybody's interest except the minister who creates it.
Why?
Now, how can I put it in a manner which is close to your heart? It is the ultimate vote loser.
Vote loser?
Why do you think the transport secretary isn't doing it? Why do you think he suggested the Lord Privy Seal? Why do you think the Lord Privy Seal suggested the Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster? And why do you think he suggested the Lord President of the Council?
I didn't know all this.
And why do you think they invited you to number 10 behind my back? Minister, this hideous appointment has been hurtling around Whitehall for the last 3 weeks, like a grenade with the pin taken out.
Well, if I could pull it off, it would be a feather in my cap.
If you pulled it off, Minister, it wouldn't be in your cafe.
Thank you, Bernard. If you pull it off, Minister, no one will feel the benefits for 10 years. And long before that, you and I will have moved on.
Or up.
Or out. In the meantime, formulating policy means making choices. Once you do that, you please the people that you favour, but you infuriate everybody else. One vote gained, 10 lost. Now, if you give the job to the road services, the rail board and unions will scream. If you give it to the railways, the road lobby will massacre you. And if you cut British Airways investment plans, they will hold a devastating press conference that same afternoon.
But I'm going to be transport supremo.
I believe the civil service vernacular is transport muggins.
No, Humphrey. The Prime Minister has asked me to undertake this task, this necessary duty. And after all, we must all endeavour to do our duty. Furthermore, Sir Mark thinks there may be votes in it. And if so, I don't intend to look a gift horse in the mouth.
I put it to you, Minister, that you are looking a Trojan horse in the mouth.
But if we look closely at this gift horse, we'll find it's full of Trojans.
If you had looked a Trojan horse in the mouth, Minister, you would have found Greeks inside. But the point is, it was the Greeks who gave the Trojan horse to the Trojans. So technically, it wasn't a Trojan horse at all. It was a gift horse. Hence the tag, Timeo Danios et Dona Ferentes, which you will recall, is usually and somewhat inaccurately translated as beware of Greeks bearing gifts. Or doubtless you would have recalled had you not attended the LSE.
Yes, well, I'm sure Greek tags are all very well in their way, but can we stick to the point?
Sorry, Greek tags?
Beware of Greeks bearing gifts.
I suppose the EEC equivalent would be beware of Greeks bearing an olive oil surplus.
Excellent, Minister.
The point is, Minister, that just as the Trojan horse was in fact Greek, what you describe as a Greek tag is in fact Latin. It's obvious, really. The Greeks would never suggest bewaring of themselves, if one can use such a participle, bewaring, that is. And it's clearly Latin, not because timeo ends in O, because the Greek first person also ends in O. Though, actually, there is a Greek word, timeo, meaning I honour. But the O-S ending is a nominative singular termination of the second declension in Greek, and an accusative plural in Latin, of course. Though, actually, danios is not only the Greek for Greek, it's also the Latin for Greek. It's very interesting, really.
Yes, I take your point, Humphrey, but is it really?
Well, Minister, perhaps you will allow me to prove it to you. I will arrange a preliminary conference for you with three undersecretaries from the Department of Transport, from the Roads Division, the Rail Division, and the Air Transport Division.
Civil servants? What will that prove?
Well, I think it may illustrate to you some of the problems you will encounter.
You may be right, Humphrey. But if I succeed, this could be my Falkland Islands.
And you could be General Galtieri.
So, with the greatest respect, Minister, I do feel constrained to point out the proposal is deeply misguided.
See. So what do you suggest?
I suggest that it should be government policy to designate a road haulage as its own principal means of freight transport.
If I might crave your indulgence for a moment, Minister, I think that such a policy would be, not to put too fine a point on it, unacceptably short-sighted. It is rail transport that must surely be the favoured carrier under any sane national policy.
With the greatest possible respect, I have to say that both those proposals are formulae for disaster. Long-term considerations absolutely mandate the increase of air freight to meet rising demands.
Of course, if the Minister is prepared for a massive budget increase,
if the Minister will accept a long and unbelievably bitter national rail strike.
If the Minister can tolerate a massive rise in public discontent.
Hold on. Look, we are the government, aren't we?
Indeed you are, Minister.
We're all on the same side.
No question.
Trying to do what's best for Britain.
I hardly think that the end of the national air freight business is best for Britain.
I find it hard to see how Britain is served by the destruction of the railways.
It is not immediately apparent how Britain benefits from a rapid deterioration of the road network.
I just wanted to examine a few policy options for the government's own freight transport needs. I thought a preliminary discussion, a few friends around the table, a few constructive, positive suggestions.
Well, of course, an expansion of rail transport.
An expansion of motorway construction.
An expansion of air freight capacity.
But my brief is to achieve an overall reduction in costs.
Well, in that case, there is only one possible course.
Indeed, there is.
And there can be no doubt what it is.
Good. I always like to end on a note of agreement. Thank you, gentlemen. Perhaps we could discuss a date for our next meeting.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
This way,
it was a very frank meeting.
More than frank, Minister. Frank bordering on direct. It's all right. The cleaners will mop up the blood tomorrow morning.
But can you help me?
How, Minister?
All these undersecretaries, they're civil servants, aren't they? But they behave more like council, briefed by the transport interests to defeat the government.
But that's right, Minister.
No, Bernard, that's wrong.
But that's how the civil service works in practice. Each department is controlled by the people who it's supposed to be controlling.
How do you
mean? Well, why, for instance, do we have comprehensive education? Who wanted it? The pupils? The parents?
No, not particularly.
The National Union of Teachers wanted it. They're the chief client of the Department of Education, so the DES went comprehensive. You see, every department acts for the powerful sectional interest with whom they have a permanent relationship. The Department of Employment lobbies for the TUC, whereas the Department of Industry lobbies for the employers. It's rather a nice balance. Energy lobbies for the oil companies, defense lobbies for the armed forces, the Home Office lobbies for the police, and so on.
So the whole system is designed to stop the cabinet from carrying out its policies?
Well, somebody's got to.
So formulating a national transport policy means fighting not just the transport industry, but the entire civil service as well. But shouldn't the civil service be committed to helping the government carry out its wishes?
Well, so it is, as long as the government's wishes are practicable.
Meaning?
As long as the civil service agrees with them.
Useful meeting, Minister.
All right, Humphrey. You win.
what do I win, Minister?
We must get out of our commitments. Clearly, the title Transport Supremo is one that's not worth having. We must endeavour to change the Prime Minister's mind.
Do you mean we plural, or do supremos now use the royal pronoun?
I mean both of us, Humphrey. Unless you want the DAA saddled with this one.
So, what are you suggesting?
Bernard, see if you can find a map of the Prime Minister's constituency, will you?
Yes.
Humphrey, I need some advice.
Yes, Minister.
Do you suppose that the formulation of a national transport policy could have unfortunate local repercussions?
Yes, indeed, Minister.
Even in a constituency represented by a very senior member of the government, in fact, the most senior member of the government.
Oh, embarrassing, deeply embarrassing.
Here's the street map, Minister, and the directory.
Splendid, Bernard. This is the Prime Minister's constituency, isn't it? Oh, look, a park.
Oh. Near the station. You know, Minister, one requirement of a national transport policy is to bring bus stations nearer to railway stations.
But that would mean building on the park.
Unless, yes.
Well, somebody has to suffer in the national interest. Make a note, would you, Bernard? Bus station to be moved into Queen Charlotte's Park.
Oh. Minister, there's a big bus repair shop.
Now, wouldn't it be more economical to amalgamate the bus and train repairs?
Oh, absolutely, Minister. Big saving.
Mm. Bus repair shop to be closed, Bernard. Mm-hmm. Now, this is commuter country, isn't it? Mm. What about that?
Well, commuter trains run at a loss, you know. They're only really used at rush hours. So commuters are, in effect, subsidised.
Isn't that rather unfair on the others?
Oh, it's a great injustice, Minister.
Commuters to pay full economic fares.
Mind you, that'll double the price of the tickets, Minister.
Can't make an omelette without breaking eggs.
There are quite a few railway stations in this area, British Rail as well as Underground.
Yes, yes.
Well, one view is that areas with reasonable rail services don't really need an evening bus service as well.
A very persuasive view, to my mind. Mm. All bus services to cease after 6:30 p.m. Now, then, what are we going to do with this space when the bus station has been moved into the park?
Well, Minister, the area is very short of parking space for container lorries. Especially at night.
Container lorry park on bus station site, Bernard. Won't that mean widening this access road?
Yeah, oh, yes, indeed. Looks as though we'll have to take away the western half of the swimming baths.
I'm afraid so. Of course, these are just the local implications of a broad national policy, aren't they?
Broad national policy, exactly, mm. Minister.
Even so, I think I ought to write a paper to the Prime Minister personally. Mm. The PM would like to know about the constituency implications. And as a loyal cabinet member, I think I owe that to the PM. Amongst other things.
Mind you, Minister, it would be awful if the press got hold of this. I mean, with so many other boroughs threatened, there'd be a national outcry.
Good heavens. Do you think there's any danger of the press getting hold of it?
Well, the press are awfully clever at getting hold of things like this. Especially if there are lots of copies.
Oh, dear. And I shall have to make copies of my papers to all my cabinet colleagues, won't I? Because, I mean, their own constituencies are bound to be affected in due course.
And if it were leaked, with so many copies, no one would ever discover who leaked it. It so happens I'm having lunch today with Peter Maxwell of the Times.
Excellent. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
You can trust me, Minister. I'm sure you've heard rumours, Peter, of this integrated national transport policy.
Oh, that hoary old chestnut. Mm-hmm. Is that coming up again?
Yes, but in a rather interesting form. It appears that the policy may have some rather unwelcome side effects.
Such as?
Well, job loss from integration of bus and rail terminals, job loss from joint repair shops, job loss from streamlining of buses and trains, and reduction of services causing job loss. That's just for starters.
Well, if this is being seriously proposed, it's quite a story.
Yes, even more interesting story than you'd think, Peter.
How so?
Well, one of the areas to suffer most is the Prime Minister's own constituency.
Do you have any hard facts?
Oh, my dear Peter, what a question.
Well, newspapers aren't like the government, you know, Humphrey. If we make statements, we have to be able to prove they're true. Come on, there must be something in writing somewhere. There always is in the civil service.
Only a confidential note from my minister to the Prime Minister. And a similar note from my minister to all 22 of his cabinet colleagues.
Oh, that's all right then. Are you going to show it to me, or shall I get it from one of the others?
Dear Peter, this is a confidential document. It would be grossly improper of me to betray it to anyone, let alone a journalist.
Of course.
I mean, the only way you could get hold of a copy would be if someone were to, I don't know, leave it lying around by mistake.
I see.
Oh, well, back to the grindstone. Well, nice to talk, Peter.
Thank you for the lunch.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Oh, Humphrey, you are so careless.
Oh, Jim. Thanks for dropping in. I thought I ought to tell you that the PM isn't very pleased.
No, not pleased.
Not pleased. This story in last Tuesday's Times.
Oh, yes, terrible. I'm not pleased either.
There's obviously been a leak.
Obviously. Can't even trust your cabinet colleagues these days.
What are you suggesting?
Well, of course, it might not have been one of them. I did send a copy of my paper here to number 10. You don't think there could be a leak here somewhere, do you?
The PM's office does not leak.
No, of course not. Perish the thought.
It wasn't only the fact of the leak that was disturbing. It was the misleading implications of the proposals.
No, not misleading. Have you read my paper?
Have you read mine?
This is the local paper from the PM's own constituency, isn't it?
I believe it is.
PM steps in to stop transport reorganization proposals. Rumours that services and jobs were threatened in this constituency were scotched today. Apparently the PM has given a firm direction to Transport Supremo Designate Jim Hacker. I haven't heard from the Prime Minister.
You have now. I'm afraid this leak, wherever it comes from, is a verbatim report of a confidential minute dictated by the PM in Ottawa. So, the national transport policy will need some rethinking.
It's going to be difficult.
I think the PM's view is that it's a difficult job that the ministers are there for. Assuming, of course, they wish to remain as ministers.
Yes, well, of course. If it needs
rethinking,
of course I shall rethink.
Good.
But how did this get into this paper? The PM's own local paper?
I don't know. But the PM's office does not leak. Shocking, though, isn't it? You can't trust anyone nowadays.
Back to square one. Oh, well, that's all right.
What do you mean it's all right? It is not all right. It means I'm still stuck with this ghastly job.
No, Minister, it is excellent news. We now present our other kind of non-proposal.
What other kind?
The high-cost, high-start kind. We now propose a British National Transport Authority with a full structure, regional board, area council, local...